Welcome to the LoJ Tortured Poet Society broadcast today. You know who you are. It was wild reading about everybody's experiences overnight, listening to the new album and everything. We're going to get into that at 3:15 today. We have our T-Swift expert in studio, Britt is with us. So we'll be hearing all about it.
I've got thoughts and maybe feelings, but
yeah. That's what Taylor does. Is she gives thoughts and feelings,
and we have a spreadsheet that you've prepared for us.
That's so funny because I pretended to work all day just to work on that. They were like, "Are you busy?" And I was like, "Yes." And that was just for this segment.
Listen, I feel so prepped. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, do you know offhand? I'm going to ask both of you guys this. And Grant, do you know your significant other's phone number? Not through your phone?
No. Yes.
I know you have your home phone number.
No, I know. After like 5 years, I've memorized Casey's cell phone number, but I cannot tell you how many times I say to him, "Oh, darling, what's your cell phone number?
You know, no idea. No idea. Not gun to my head, I would say I have no idea.
You?
I used to not know it, but recently in the last, I would say 2 months, it's become memory only because I've been picking up a lot of prescriptions lately.
Sure.
And you need to provide the last four of the person's phone number.
So I think that we should be like children and memorize our partner's phone number. We should know that.
Well, Jeff got locked out last night of the cabin, and his phone was in the cabin.
Okay, so now he's
up north, away, without a phone. And so he had to drive, 20 miles away. His brother, luckily, was at his cabin. And he's like, I should know how to get in, and there's some sort of a code, but I don't know it, and I don't know my wife's phone number to call her to find out.
Brutal.
But I don't know his. And so
it took me 5 years to learn Casey.
We sat and laughed so hard, and he's not even under his name in my phone. He's under a destination.
And if you were dating on any of the apps, your contacts are insane. Like, for the longest time, mine was Justin Dog Park. Until a year ago, where I was like, I guess you can be Justin Arneson,
Jeff Tinder. I mean, it was so funny. So he's just waiting around trying to think of how to get a hold of me.
Oh, that's brutal.
But I thought, I don't know his. I don't even know my kids. I know Lori's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know my mom's. Mm-hmm. I know my sister, and I know my ex's.
Now, from somebody else's experience, of course not my own, you should always know somebody who you think would bail you out because they may or may not take your cell phone.
Well, I know highly recommend cell phone
there
number.
She would bail you out.
Because we have had the same cell phone for like 20
years.
Plus years.
Yes, it has been.
Because this was my body.
I lived in Edina.
It's all my memories are formed before I had a phone. There's no other.
Because when we had to.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a good exercise. I just was thinking, because what happens if you don't have your phone and you don't know your significant
other's? In trouble.
I would be in trouble.
Yeah, like some of the things I've got: Alan Safari, Lacey Underwear, Christy New Smyrna.
Oh, yeah.
Lil, Eric, and somebody else. Alisa's Steve. Just weird. Boobs. Lois Boobs. I have no idea who that is.
No, I'd like to know who that is. You know, like I have Kathleen Brooks.
I have people, because if I volunteer, it's like Princess's mom,
the dog,
the dog's parent. And then now I was talking to people like where your little text to ask, like my sister's like, this mom or dad asked to have Finn hang out. Yeah. So she doesn't even know if it's the mom or dad. It's like Jackson's mom or dad ?
Okay,
like,
that's really funny.
My best one is Pete NSB Semper Fi.
Well, okay. Oh, my goodness.
That's your dad's buddy, Pete from New Smyrna Beach, who was a Marine.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, here's one that I had, Lori. I had, I have Porky Pig. No, this is really serious. I have a Portugal or Bust. I have a Porky Pig Big Ben. And I know who it is. I know who it is.
Well, because they cues up your memory.
Met in London?
No, it's a husband of one of my girlfriend's siblings. I mean, but it's just
my biggest weirdest ones. My weirdest. All of them are from college because everybody was like Bill Sanraff 304, Jessica. Right. You know, in whatever dorm room, because it was when you're meeting people, you didn't ask their last names, and it was just like, okay, I know this is their first name. I know they live in this dorm room, and this is their number. So mine, I have. So many of my college friends, and it comes up, and I'm like, I can tell you what dorm room you were in and what number you were in.
I love it. Yeah, because that's how. So it's just kind of, Anywho, it's just kind of a little reminder that perhaps you should memorize these things. I thought it was, you know, I swore I was going to memorize my kids. I need to know them, but it has never happened because you don't have to.
No, and if you don't have a
cell phones are ruining our brain.
No, you know what you need to memorize is your license plate.
Because yeah.
Every time you park,
yeah.
You have to put that in.
Yep.
And if it's a little bit of a way, you got to walk back to your car.
I always take a picture.
Yeah, take a picture.
I know, but I mean, like, that just seems to be the thing. I long to find a place that takes a quarter or a dollar.
Right.
I also think
if you don't have somebody's first name with a do not answer behind it, you're not living life to the fullest.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's because you guys never dated on the apps as much where you have, I have like a, let's say, Jack, do not answer.
Well,
like, it reminds you, because you don't want to block them.
Right. Why?
So, because then it gets, could be a thing.
Yeah.
You don't want them to, like,
oh. Yeah. So it's almost just better, like, Jack, but do not answer.
Never answer.
Just don't make it, because if you block it, then they have this weird high about you blocked me or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you block people, they know you block them?
Yes. You're blocked.
I'm pretty sure it's like they can tell when they call or something.
Oh my God.
But so I had a couple that were like, first name, do not answer. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, that's
if there's ever anybody at post radio life that we need, we're going to remember that tip.
Yes. Yeah,
that's it.
I'm going to be Brittany. Do not answer.
Do not answer.
Do not answer.
Block her now. Yeah. She's bugging us. She won't leave us alone. Oh my God, Brittany, that's funny. I guess I never have. I would just delete them.
Well, I mean, that's the worst.
Because then you don't know when you might pick
you
up.
Might answer. You might answer. You might have had a couple of drinks and somebody calls you. I'm going to answer this.
Yeah.
No, you need a Jack, do not answer.
I like
input
I never,
name, do not answer.
I never knew it. I never knew it. Hey, we're giving away our last pair of Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj. That's Taylor Swift's cousin. Nicki Minaj tickets today to the April 27th, a week from tomorrow at Target Center. Nicki Minaj is going to be there on a world tour called Pink, and we're going to do that later.
I wonder if her husband's going to be able to travel with her.
You're so convicted. I knew you were going to say it.
I mean, she can't
travel with her.
No.
And this is why she hasn't like toured and stuff, because she's been with him for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, they have a child together.
Yeah. So, he was petitioning to go out on the road with her, but I think it was denied.
Yeah, that'd be a hard sell.
I'm, you know what? In honor of Taylor Swift, I'm being petty today, and I'm just getting it all out there.
All right, do you have anything else?
I'm not holding back from any feelings.
I love this Lori.
Yeah,
this Lori scares the heck out of me.
Wait,
I love it.
Wait till you hear the haiku.
Yeah, right. So we're working on a haiku.
We've had a day. Oh, my gosh. That'll be coming up. All right, so let's just get to it. I can't stand it.
I'm
just dying, needing to know about what all these lyrics mean. We're going to be back, and we are going to do a deep dive into Taylor Swift. This is Lori and Julia, Brittany and Grant on My Talk 107.1.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Anne and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It's kind of fitting that we're playing Beyonce before we get in to Taylor Swift's Something Poet Society.
Nailed it. You're already killing it. One thing I didn't print for you was the name of the album. I print everything else. The Tortured Poets Department.
Yes. TTPD for short. Yeah. And you know what I realized in listening to at least half the albums? Yeah. Because now we know two. When she kept flashing two, it was a double album.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah, because it's 31 songs. Yeah. But we haven't had a breakup album in 10 years from Taylor.
Yeah.
So she's put all the breakup songs.
All the energy.
I mean, they're not all breakup songs, but she's put them all. We haven't had one for 10 years. Am I right?
No, you're correct. And that's what everybody, it's funny because even when I was talking to some of the people around there, like, oh, she always writes songs about breakups. And it goes, no, those are just really memorable songs.
Yes.
That she'd done well. But most of those are from Red. And that was the last big breakup album. Mm-hmm.
10 years ago.
Yep. So it's, we are the Lover House now, and it's funny too because you could look back at Lover differently and say that that was a delusional album because
it's the exact opposite of this.
In some ways, because it's about the same person, but there was a lot of bargaining saying, mm-hmm. Well, I have all this, I don't need a title from him because he's my lover. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you have those friends in your life who are like, you know, I don't need a ring, mm-hmm. We have what we have. And you look back at that relationship after they break up, they're like, I was dying. I needed a ring bad. I wish I would have had one. We were dating for 6 years. I was in my 30s.
Why would they give me a ring? Were you surprised that there were six songs about Matt Healy? If you call the breakup songs, there's six on Matt, two on Joe, two about meeting Travis.
Yeah.
And one John Mayer song.
I know. Well, John Mayer stuck with her in a way.
Long time.
But you know what? Okay, so I don't think I was surprised. I had a feeling that the Matt Healy relationship was so hot and insane, mm-hmm. that it's like somebody you date that you have the best stories about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I probably haven't told you guys a lot of stories about my, like, normal relationship. You know, my ex, that it lasted way too long and I thought we were going to get married and didn't, because there's not a lot of stories there. But I can tell you about the in-between ones that were wild.
Right, yeah,
and that makes my Justin look shinier because of that hot mess Matt Healy.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it was, is like, that one, I think she got a lot of material out. And I bet it was fun, too, and terrible.
And the fans were so mad at her. Like, how could you do this? Why are you dating this icky man?
Yeah, but we also get it.
Don't we get a song where she claps back at everyone who was, like, lecturing her?
I heard a little bit. I mean, they were saying, I forget which song that is.
There's 31 songs.
Yeah.
I feel like that's too
I really focused in
the amount of songs.
You did feel tortured by it. I'm excited because the way all of her albums work for me is there every time there's about 25% I instantly like, and then you kind of fall in love with these other ones as you get sick of the ones you burned out.
Right.
So it's like
There's a lot there for you.
My favorite thing about being a Swiftie, though, is other Swifties and how dramatic we are.
Yeah.
I had texts at 11:30 from Mike Ganger. I had my, you know, Josie, who's 13, texting me that her parents don't know she's up and she's listening to the album. And sorry, Priscilla, your kid was up. Maggie, who's 17, going, dead, dying, RIP, my heart, dead, dying.
That's one of the things, though, that makes Taylor Swift, why she makes people so emotional. She makes girls and women feel seen.
Yeah.
She writes about stuff that people can relate to or remember. Her lyrics get imprinted on our brains.
Yeah.
She knows how to write a catchy lyric.
Yeah.
And she also makes people feel connected to others. These are the strong things that she has.
And that's what
she enjoys messing with her fans.
And she loves messing with us. And we kind of love being messed with. We love going down a rabbit hole and then being completely wrong or right. But like, yeah, I think it's kind of, we're in that era. And I love this about mental health. It's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a planned mental breakdown that we all knew we were going to have today. And it's fun? Why is it fun? I don't know.
And I love how petty she is in a lot of these songs.
And I
petty.
And I just love experiencing kind of osmosis through you because you were telling me yesterday when you left, I have to figure out what outfit I'm going to wear to work tomorrow. Which Taylor Swift era I'm going
to
be?
All right, which song are we going to listen to first?
All right, so we're going to start with "So Long, London." This is one about Joe Alwyn
because she moved to London.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of "Lover" is so London coded that you almost needed a goodbye song
to London.
Yeah, okay. So here we are with "So Long, London."
Okay,
yeah,
okay, so that is so good.
So good.
I died on the altar, you know, waiting for your proof.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's very Dear Diary.
I love this.
Honestly.
I know. I get goosebumps because we can all remember a time. And I know. Get it. I get it. Right now, it's annoying because me and Justin are in a good place. And I hate that for this because I have to remember a time I did wait for somebody who kept not proving. And the one thing about her in this album, she keeps saying is some of these scars I have were self-inflicted. She is somebody who tried to make something work, who kept getting proven over and over, it's not going to work. This is not your guy.
And sometimes, yeah, you do feel like an absolute idiot for just hanging on, and then you're like, whoa, what the heck was I doing?
I know. And especially when you have somebody who, you know,
showing you.
Exactly. Like, and then she's with somebody like Travis who celebrates their love out loud, and you sit and compare them and you just go, what was I doing?
Yeah. So I do like the self-reflection. She's not afraid to do that.
No.
But it feels like the most in some of these songs that we've ever heard.
Yeah. And I think you guys will really like this one. This one's my current favorite. This was the one I heard and went, I'm in love with this. This is "Who's Afraid of Little Old Me."
Oh, this is great.
And this whole song is just about like the mantra. If there's somebody in your life who kind of treated you like crap because they didn't think that you could fire back, and her saying, maybe you should be afraid of me. So this is "Who's Afraid of Little Me," song 10. And that's just the first chorus. Yeah. They extend the chorus later.
Yeah.
But I get goosebumps with the way she screams. It's not pretty. If you're going to go, oh, wow, her voice is not pretty in this, because I listened to this on the way here, kind of imagining people in my life who've said, you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm,
and it's like, you want to scream like that during that part. Like, who's afraid of? It's so good. Here's her most kind.
Is that song about anybody?
I would say Scooter Braun-esque, but I think what I like about that song is it's not so specific where I did easily apply that to my life. Like, you know, it's not like spot on where I have to be dealing with $1 million deals. Here's this one that's a little more poppy. It's my favorite juxtaposition because it's a very poppy song with very sad lyrics. And this one is called "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart." Imagine when she first started touring, we didn't know that her and Joe Alwyn had broken up and how she had to put on a smile. So here is "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart." And that's...
I love that. The lyrics get imprinted on your brain.
And that's high-functioning depression unfortunately, a lot of us can relate to. Wow. So
I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday every day. I mean, she's so good.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Yeah. We're going to get into more songs. It's Taylor Swift Breakdown. Yeah. We'll be right back. All right, we're just sitting here talking about musical and how lyrics are so important. And we have the greatest musical with great lyrics. Chan Hassen's beautiful, the Carole King musical, is going on now through the end of the summer. And everybody loves it. And Carole King was a lyricist to start. She wrote... It's so good. Dancing, 29 different actors on your feet, moving around, singing, dancing, great acting, too. It's her story of when she used to write lyrics for other people, and then when she started finding her own voice and wrote them for herself. It's so good, and the Chan is such a classic.
It is.
It's so fun.
Memorable date night or special gathering or just going with friends you haven't seen for a while.
It's a great get together opportunity.
It really is, and you better think about planning that date now because tickets are going fast. And I know that. Visit Chan Hassen. DT.com for tickets. Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters, always entertaining you.
We are with the Taylor Swift fan club here. We've got Brittany, we've got Lori, we've got Grant, super fan.
And me. We've got 31 songs, which we can't possibly play. So Brittany's highlighting.
She's highlighting the ones we should know.
Yeah.
All right. What's next on our list?
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to switch it up a little bit, and we're going to do one of the Travis Kelce songs, which we didn't think we're going to have anything about Travis Kelce in this album. So
two songs.
Yeah. Pleasantly surprised when this one came out. It definitely leans more on the corny side. Mm-hmm. But if you want to listen to her, it's Travis Kelce. It's a corny song, but for some reason you like it. Here's Love The Alchemy. It. Cute.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Press a sign on your heart.
It's pretty.
It's a pretty.
It's a sister song to The Archer, because The Archer is kind of her and Travis's little thing together, because he does the Archer sign when he comes out. He does the whole pulley and the bow.
Okay.
She has a song, The Archer. So it kind of, there's a lot in there that goes with that. But so it's pretty cute.
And alchemy is a good poetic word to use.
Gorgeous. Yeah. It's, yes, absolutely. All right, now let's get back to what we do best.
Let's go back to being
let's
petty.
Let's get petty.
Okay.
Listen, Kim K, we're not done with you. You hit hard, and I think the worst part about Kim K, like, because she's done writing, you know, songs about a lot of people she's feuded with because they resolved it, but Kim K keeps acting like changing the narrative like it didn't happen.
Right.
And the downplaying is just not something we're here for in 2024. So this song is called Thank You, Amy, but the only letters that are capitalized are K, I, and M. At the beginning of the song, the word thank is another word, blank you, Amy. Mm-hmm. So she starts out talking about how angry she is, and then this is the tail end of it, but thank you, Amy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a guy. I like the song, though, too. And the reference, Northwest has done TikToks
with
singing Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so, but Kim never apologized for the receipts.
No, never apologizes. And then they changed the narrative all the time of we're fine. And then like made headlines whenever there was any hiccups. You could tell it was very like Kardashian coded, where they would always kind of lead and kind of brushed it over. Or we didn't do all this. And so, you know,
I love a call out in a song. I love the pettiness. Mm-hmm. I am here for this song.
We are here for it now.
And she must just think when North comes home and does the TikToks, it's just got to be hysterical.
It's got to be hysterical. And at this point,
who cares?
Who cares? And honestly, like, I think it would be one of those things that would be epic if they forgave each other. But at the same time, it's also okay.
Right.
You can have closure and not
be friends.
Yeah, be friends.
I wouldn't think there's closure. Trust the Kardashians if I were Taylor Swift.
And honestly, like,
why does she need them?
She doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of cool is like we all have those people. I mean, the thing is this conjures up a lot of feelings for people who can relate.
Yeah, you don't need to be friends with everybody.
No. You can move on.
Yes,
you can.
Exactly.
You have to let go of the anger piece. Otherwise,
And that's where it goes from a certain, you know, there's an FU part to it and then to a thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
And then there's even when she said the way you made me feel. And then at this last one, she goes, because you made me heal.
So I like the song.
Yeah. Me too. Isn't that one good?
That's good. Yeah.
And she's so clever in the capital letters and the small letters.
Yeah.
She loves playing with her fans.
He's so clever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's thank you, Amy.
Now we're headed down south to Florida, and an anthem to Florida hits my heart. There's something about being in Florida where it is so different than any other part of the world.
True.
And my favorite line in this, we're going to hear it, is Florida is one hell of a drug. And this is Florida. This is with Florence from Florence and the Machines. And I stuck to her part just because it was so beautiful. Here's Florida from Tortured Poets Department. Isn't that so
Florence?
That's Florence. I mean, she just makes that song.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And now here is one that kind of
Can I just back up when she sings, so you work your life away just to pay for a timeshare down in Destin, Florida? I mean, is that any way Britney coded? Because in Britney's book, if you remember, she bought the home in Destin that Jeannie Lynn claimed was hers.
Now, that would be pretty cool if that was, because it does feel wrapped in that. Because as soon as you said it, my eyebrows went probably past my hairline, because there's some,
And Jamie was always like, you know, that was always claimed that was her home. And Brittany, in her book, was like, I paid for this home and I wasn't even invited to it.
Yeah.
They were like, it's not your place.
And this is also loosely based, according to Taylor Swift, on watching an episode of Dateline. Did you guys read that?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
All right.
Always watching Dateline and notice how people have these crimes that they commit where do they immediately skip town to go? They go to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Florida, again.
Florida man.
Florida. It's Florida one man, hell of a drug.
News from Florida.
Right? And it's one of those things, the whole song is just very, it hits Florida in a way where you go, yep. That's yeah. Florida. Like I don't have it. I love going to Florida, but for some reason, as soon as I get there, I am wearing like button up shirts open and like decided that shoes are optional. Like I love the vibe that you have in Florida. And yeah, it's one hell of a drug.
Are those the only two collabs? The Post Malone Fortnite and Florida with Florence?
Okay. Yes. And the Post Malone one, it's okay. I like it. I think I'll like it more later once I get more into the lyrics.
Yeah, and first listen, I was like, oh, okay.
For the first song, it felt a little like I was waiting for something. But I think it's one of those things that, again, once it, like all Taylor Swift songs, I think I'll like it more as I hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's a lot of people's favorite. There was a part in it where I think about every Swiftie I know said that they quickly were like convinced that they had to vomit. It's called But Daddy, I Love Him. And I'm going to play us the part where it was a little bit of a shock. And then you kind of go, okay, never mind. But
do we know who it's about or is it?
People are claiming this could be a Matt Healy just because okay. I think it might be also kind of up in the air. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was a lot of when she goes, you know, I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. Yeah, but you should see her faces kind of, especially because a lot of this is based off her life that she's being very honest about
in
this.
Right.
So there was a moment of like, oh, we all speculated that she. Oh, never mind. That was just
an emotional. But Daddy, I love him. Can we hear a little bit of the smallest man who ever lived?
Sure.
Which is clearly
Grant, can you pull it up?
A Matt Healy song. And this is the 14th track. On the album, and it's a blistering. I am here for these petty ass lyrics.
Yeah, no,
let me tell you.
Make sure that I'm going to make sure we get the non-explicit one.
Yeah, because I can't find that on YouTube. Okay. Can you send me that one, Brittany? By
chance, I'm on it. I'm going to put it in our mix.
I don't even want you back. I just want you to know if Rusty, My Sparkling Summer was the goal.
Oh, that's I have it in there. Our shared one, Grant.
Thank you. And I can just play it from the beginning, Lori. Or
I think so.
All right, we'll play it up right now.
Mm-hmm. So good.
We'll probably get to the bridge in the second half. But yeah, I think we're talking about a lot. I haven't even looked at much of the speculation because I was like, I want to listen to it all.
Yep.
I'm shocked that they're saying only two of them are for Joellen. Because it feels like the first two are for sure. And then, of course, So Long London. I also think LOML and The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived are all Joe.
Yeah. Well, who can listen to 31 songs between last night and
I mean,
today?
I tried, you guys. I stayed up till 11, listened to the whole, what I thought was the whole album.
Yeah.
And then went to bed at midnight, woke up and realized that she dropped how many more? 15 more songs?
Right.
So then I was like, go, buckle up. We're about to listen to more music.
Got the bridge, by the way, of The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. It really kicks up, and it's kind of cool. If we want to just play, we got a little time here.
You deserve prison, but you won't get... This is...
Wow. That's a good bridge.
It is. And she is 48 of the 100 top iTunes as of this morning, and she had 9 of the top 10... and 4 of the top 5 albums.
And we found
as
out
of this morning.
And we found out the leaked songs were all AI, so they weren't actually real.
Thank God.
AI.
I
got scared because Quinn was like, if that's her album, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
I was like, so you guys, thank you so much. I don't have friends or family who let me talk this much about Taylor Swift.
Right.
So
you do too.
Don't lie
to us. I already know what you do. I went to a movie with you and your friends.
But I do appreciate it. And if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, I understand.
I think she could have edited. I don't think 31 songs were needed.
Listen,
for this.
Did we need 31 songs? No but am I thankful that I have them?
Yeah.
Yes.
You are?
Yes. Of course I am.
I feel tortured by 31 songs.
But you
songs.
Don't have to listen to them.
No, I know. But I mean, if that felt so heavy. I listened to like,
I didn't even hear that bridge fully in my double earphones because I listened to it really quickly last night until now. And I go, I can't wait to get in my car and blast that as if, like,
That song's going to be a fun one. Lori, good call on that one. But Brittany, thank you for all your work.
Hey, thank you. And please listen to Who's Afraid of Little Old Me loudly because, like, right now is speaking to my heart. Thank you, guys.
I love you. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Oh, the sun is popping out here for Friday. Happy hour starts right now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So big movie weekend, because it sounds like it's going to be cold as hell.
Yep.
Yep.
Minnesota, Wisconsin. Yep. Not good weather. I actually saw snow, like that snow pellet.
Yeah.
It was coming down little tiny pellets.
It's cold. And it snowed a little bit more than that, too, later after we had gotten here, too. Yeah.
And I spoke too soon. I said, this looks like the year my magnolia is going to escape the bitter freeze.
That magnolia tree has been nothing but bottles for you for so long, Lori.
Yeah, because we can't
rely. Maybe this isn't the environment
for
it.
No, I have a zone 5 azalea, which is what we're in. It's just that zone 5 is unreliable. It can be hotter than it is, colder than it is. It's an unreliable zone. Okay?
We live in an unreliable zone. I have a little story about that in my house. Yes, you are so right about that.
Okay, so a movie that I'm highly recommending, I had a chance to talk about it with Casey because, you know, sometimes it takes you, you know, a day or two to digest the movie.
Yes.
But we saw the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and that movie is a romp, a caper. It is so much fun. And there's been a little bit of pushback. Oh, Guy Ritchie, you know, didn't follow the book close enough, because it's kind of based on, it is based on this book, which is about how Winston Churchill, you know, his people wanted him to give up and surrender
to Hitler.
Anyway, there is There is a book about the mission to sabotage the U-boats so that they wouldn't be able to. Basically, they shot every other ship that crossed the Atlantic, and the Americans were giving, we were giving troop support, equipment, they were all getting blown up. And we saw that in Greyhound.
Yes, we did.
Tom Hanks.
We did.
Movie. But if you want to have the absolute historical, whatever, read the book.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why people are bitching about that. You can't have every detail that's in a book in a movie.
Exactly.
And people know that.
Yeah.
It's everyone has to look for a negative instead of saying this is just a great movie. You know, it follows the majority of the story in the book.
I mean, there were intelligence agents. One of them was released for prison. We don't know why
from prison.
Henry Cavill playing this guy. Guy March Phillip, which is because we meet Ian Fleming in the movie, who was really an OSA agent. He says he knows this guy, Guy March Phillips, who can lead a group of renegades to do this dangerous mission that the British government is going to not sanction because it's ungentlemanly, the warfare that they're going on.
Right.
And but anyway, that really happened, and Guy March Phillips played brilliantly by Henry Cavill, who's having so much fun. And if you saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the Guy Ritchie, did you guys see that?
I don't think I ever saw that. Did you see that?
No, I don't believe. Actually, yes.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Is that a good movie?
It is good.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
It is good. And Henry Cavill is directed by Guy Ritchie, and he plays him with a wink and a nod and just so much fun. And, you know, I was reading this funny story. One of the hardest things that Guy Ritchie had to do, because one of the best characters, there's so many good actors in it. It's beautiful people playing racketeers and you know, highly skilled killers, okay? Isa Gonzalez is really
great. Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah, Alex Pettyfer is really fun in it. Alan Ritchson as Anders Larsen, the Dane, one of Guy Ritchie's big things was finding people big enough that he could fight against, because he has some of the most epic fight scenes.
Oh, yes. Really?
He's so big.
Yeah. Well, Alan's just a massive specimen, perfect for that role.
Yeah. And Isa as Marjorie, the sly spy who has to charm this creepy Nazi spy.
You love her.
Oh, she's amazing.
You love it,
Lori. And anyway, I just admire the movie, and it's really, really, really fun.
So, I love that.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I had a little bit of hope. I think Grant posted this yesterday. Did you post the Trap, the M. Night Shyamalan trailer? Or
no,
did I just watch that on my own?
You watch it on your own.
You watch it because Q kept talking about it. Said, this looks so good.
Yeah, you and Q were talking about it.
So Josh Hartnett, I felt very much like, are we getting a Josh Hartnett renaissance?
He was in Oppenheimer. You're right. And
we haven't seen, I mean, that was a blockbuster.
He was in that Penny thing.
That was so long ago, that Showtime show that he was in. He's been in dad mode for 10 years, not acting a lot.
Yeah.
So he was everywhere with the cast of Oppenheimer.
He's beautiful.
And I have to say that I never bet against M. Night Shyamalan because I've loved some of his movies and hated some of his movies.
Yes.
But he knows how to do twists. And when I watch this, it's like, okay, it looked really good.
Yeah.
All right. He takes his daughter to a pop concert only to find out it's a trap set for a serial killer.
Oh.
Is this out now?
It's coming out.
Okay, and it's called The Trap.
It's just called Trap.
I like it's like a one scene movie too, all in a stadium, I'm guessing, or some sort of arena.
And
that's
Josh
cool.
Hartnett might be scoring big with this
one. All right, good. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. This is My Talk.